Cody Stafford murdered by Simon Peveril 20 years ago. As you know, the body of Simon Peveril was found badly burned after a fire at Mary Leanne House, the victim of a blunt force trauma to the head.
Latest CCTV footage just in. He locks his bike to a lamppost and then enters the coffee shop on the corner. And then...
Who is she?
Harrington. She was a regular visitor at Kirkham.
What was her first name?
Just sign herself in as Ms. Harrington each time.
I was one of the officers on the original case. Stewie McCallion was a key prosecution witness.
Well, according to Simon, he lied. He reckoned he was friends with the victim.
Cody Stafford.
There'd been some wrangle between Simon and McCallion a couple of months before the murder. Drugs.
And the trial was Stewie's way of getting even.
What was he like, Cody?
He was no saint, but he didn't deserve to die.
I got it wrong. She wasn't his girlfriend after all.
Harrington?
Yeah, she was just a friend.
What, she was here? And you talked to her?
There she is! Stop! Move Harrington! Stop!
No!
Get off me!
Stop!
Police! Stop!
Get your hands off me!
Stay still, then! I want to talk to you. I'm Detective Sergeant Sue Kelly. And you are Miss Harrington.
So,
we want to talk to you in connection with the murder of Simon Peveril. We have CCTV footage of you meeting him the day before he was killed. You also visited him in prison. You didn't think of coming forward.
Oh, why should I?
Is it?
Yes. Miss Harrington.
Hang on. Sue, I've got this. You go back to the Grep, see if anyone else showed up.
Fine.
I know you. You're Cody Stafford's sister.
I just called the hospital, boss. Stewie McCallion's still in ICU.
Breathing, then?
So far.
More money than sense.
Eh?
These, for Riato Karuma trainers. Limited edition. 900 a pop. Look.
Cool.
Maybe on someone your age. Or half it. Some plank with cash to burn.
Hello, everybody. How are we all?
Miss Stanton Hope.
Oh, Jackie, please.
Not at Simon Peveril's funeral, then. So much for family, eh?
You should have been at the vigil. Very moving. Lots of lovely people coming together in support.
We were rather stretched, policing the protests outside your gaffs. Lots of angry people coming together in disgust.
I'd like to speak to John.
No can do. DCI Stone's not here. He's at the funeral. No telling how long he'll be.
That's fine, Michael. I'll wait.
Knock yourself out. DC West?
This way, please.
And it's D.I. Tanner for the record.
Mel, can you tell me where you were on the evening of Thursday, 4th January, between 9 and 10:30?
What? Are you for real? You think I had something to do with what happened? You're off your head.
Given your connection to Simon Peveril, you need to account for yourself.
My connection? You don't know the first thing about my connection to Simon.
I know he killed your brother.
So what? You think I was meeting Simon to scope him out? Lure him to his death or something?
Thursday night. Where were you?
I'm not telling you. Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm the senior investigating officer of the inquiry, DCI John Stone. And I have powers to detain and question anyone I believe to be of interest.
Stone? You're one of the officers on Cody's case.
I was.
Oh, God. You have no idea how long I've waited to talk to one of you lot.
Really? Is that why you legged it?
You're chasing me.
Thursday? Where were you?
At home. Alone.
Can you prove it? Did you make or receive any phone calls or use the internet? If you tell us that, we can confirm with your service provider.
I can't remember. Probably. Look, I didn't kill Simon. I'll show you.
What?
Come and see. Please. I'm only 10 minutes away.
Hello? The Simon Peveril funeral?
All finished up.
Ah. Thank you.
Oh, there's someone just gone into the Garden of Remembrance.
Thank you. Dr. Peveril?
Up here. A spare room.
What's on earth? What is all this? Every
Cody's wall. Walls.
16th May 1998. This is all about his murder.
And that was the investigation. And that one's the trial.
But why?
I'm trying to work out what really happened.
Everybody knows what happened.
No, they don't.
You attended the trial?
Every day. It was horrible. It was like losing him all over again. The things they said. They made him sound like this stone-cold gangster. He was just a kid.
But you followed the prosecution case. You heard the evidence. How it was something and nothing that started it.
Yeah, here, look. Castro's, a nightclub. Cody stepped in because Simon Peveril and his girlfriend were having a set to. Well, Simon had chucked his drink in Adele's face. She'd been to the bar. She tripped as she got back, spilt some of the drink on Simon. She thought it was funny. He didn't. He threw his drink at her, gave her a mouthful of abuse.
They already knew each other, Cody and Simon. They were both in the Duke's gang.
Yeah.
Were you?
Well, sort of. Look, it was where you lived, who your cousins were, who you hung out with, postcodes, you get me? Look, Simon, posh boy they called him, he got involved at school. It's in my year. Used to take the piss out of him, summit rotten because of who he was, but once he started dealing a bit for him, it was easier. Anyway, that night, Simon felt disrespected in front of Adele and the others in the crew. Simon had to play the hard man, all that macho shit. He laid into Cody, put him on the floor. We managed to separate him and get Cody up. Simon's screaming how Cody's a dead man, he's going to kill him. 30 seconds later, Cody legs it.
And Simon went after him. He caught up with Cody at the bridge.
Yeah, and they started fighting again. Simon was pumped up. He wanted to hurt Cody.
And that's when Simon killed him.
Jolene.
You can just move those files to there.
What are the chances of being able to identify a make of trainers from remains at the Peveril crime scene?
On the victim?
No. In the room. Look. Stills from CCTV on Chaplin Way. Unidentified suspect, Thursday night, taken an hour apart.
Different shoes?
You're good, you. Could go far. So, he starts off in these fancy ones, Ferriato Caruma limited edition. But here, he swapped a bag in basement style.
You think it was at the scene?
It's possible. Maybe he thought the trainers would incriminate him, so he left them there. What do you reckon?
Could take a while. We'd have to look at the chemical composition from the scene. It's nowhere near as easy as using the database for footwear impressions.
We didn't recover any of those, did we?
No, too much damage.
But you like a challenge.
Oh, I love a challenge.
Simon said Cody got the better of him. Broke his nose near enough and a rib. So Simon gave up. When he left, Cody was still alive, messing about, dancing on the bridge like some stupid prize fighter. But see this part here? That's Simon's version of what happened.
Simon had no defence to speak of beyond, it wasn't me.
Every day of that trial, I watched him in that dock. And I hated him. Trying to wriggle out of it. I couldn't bear the idea. So when we got the verdict and it was unanimous... You're exhausted, though. Hollowed out. Then he applies for leave to appeal. And talk about a kick in the teeth. I couldn't... Still pretending to be innocent.
He didn't get his leave to appeal.
The relief. After that, they turned him down. I kept hoping he'd confess. And we all knew he'd done it, so why couldn't he just... He got 17 years. That's one for every year of Cody's life. We should have got more, but the solicitor told us that his age, the fact it wasn't premeditated, went in his favour.
So why all this? Timelines, lists of names, post-mortem report. Mel? Does this help, really, dwelling on the past?
I lost a baby. A pregnancy. 2 years ago. 21 weeks. It was like all the same feelings, you get me? I was overwhelmed, not coping well at all. There was no obvious reason for the miscarriage. He looked perfect. Nothing wrong, no one to blame, just all this grief. And so I turned it all on Simon, because he was to blame for Cody. And he refused to admit it all these years. He just kept on lying. I was so angry. I went to see him in prison. I called him out. I challenged him to put things right and be honest for me and my mum. He was a mess. Disturbed, you know? He wouldn't admit a thing. When I went again, it was like he was broken. He talked about his mum. She'd gone into a home. He was missing her. We didn't have anyone else. But I told him about my mum, how it had been for her and how much it would mean if he finally told the truth. He remembered her when we were at school. How she made him pancakes. He used to crash on people's sofas if he could, catch a bed for the night. He came round ours a couple of times. Things weren't good at his place. His dad was difficult, we all knew that. Rumour was he used to belt Simon. Anyway, I pushed him to own up. And he said, I swear on my mum's life and your mum's life and Cody's memory, if I'd have done it, I'd have said so all along. I'd have had some peace, I'd be free, not living this hell. There were tears streaming down his face. I didn't do it, Mel. That's what he said. Over and over again, I didn't do it. It was the truth.
Dr. Peveril?
Ah, dear Skelly.
We thought you weren't coming.
No, I didn't. Well, not to.
It's beautiful here.
Yes.
The plaque. Your younger son.
Michael.
10 months. I can't imagine. And the letter?
One of Simon's. To Grace. I was leaving it here. He wrote every week. See? Dozens of them. Of course, they belong to Grace. I'll take them. Not the cheek. But this one. Simon wrote about Michael. His memories. Trying to wake him. How he missed him. Well, we all did.
Please, could we see the letters before you give them to your wife?
Wife? Yes, all right. I don't see why not.
Shall we get out of this wind? There's a cafe on the main road.
It was like one of those optical illusions. Looking at it the wrong way, then the picture changes completely. Well, after that, I wondered if Cody had just fallen in. I mean, dancing round, lost his balance. But the stuff in the report, the injury to his chin, the way he broke his neck, that wouldn't fit. You were all sure it was murder. Someone had dropped him over that bridge. But if Simon didn't do it, that meant whoever killed Cody was still free. He's still free!
There was solid forensic evidence. We had eyewitness testimony, the guy who saw it all.
Not that guy, you mean? Stewie McCallion? Stewie hated Simon. They had history. Stuff to do with who was dealing where and who was supplying who. It was a dream come true for Stewie. He moved up the ranks. It all got way heavier. More deaths, shootings. People forgot about Cody. Except for some of the other families. The mothers. They came together to change things.
And they did. We arrested a lot of the gang leaders.
Stewie. That is what Simon's appeal was based on. The verdict was unsound because Stewie McCallion was an unreliable witness.
But Mel... We know Simon's application for leave to appeal was refused because it didn't hold water.
Yeah, answer me this, then. What makes a street gang member cooperate with the police? No one would do that. All those cases where they couldn't get a witness, any witness, because it wasn't safe. Why would Stewie run the risk of getting a bloody great target on his back by singing like a bird for the prosecution? Unless he had a rock-solid reason.
Look, I understand you're still upset about Cody.
Oh, don't patronise me! What if Stewie was the person on the bridge with Cody? Stewie was off his head half the time, sampling the product, violent, reckless. What if Stewie killed Cody and blamed Simon?
Simon's blood was recovered from the scene. What possible reason would Stewie have to hurt Cody?
He looked at him the wrong way. He laughed at him. He spoke out of turn. Take your pick. Cody could never keep quiet. Talk first, ask questions later. People got shot in those days for tiny insults, silly little quarrels, like toddlers with guns. It was crazy.
Mel, we've established for a fact
who
killed Cody.
Do you know what I said just before Cody ran off? You're going to get yourself killed, you bloody idiot. Didn't see him again. Not alive. I took his coat home, cursing him because he'd ruined my night out. I thought he'd gone to a mate's after to lay low. So I had his coat and he hadn't got his keys, see? And when there's a knock at the door late the next day, I thought it was him. Tail between his legs. It was the police come to tell us. I should have looked after him. I should have... When he was younger, he had nightmares sometimes, and I'd read to him. In his nightmares, Cody was always drowning. Not monsters or spiders, but water. I can't put him to rest. I think of him in the water.
He didn't drown, Mel.
There were stars that night. don't often see stars round here. There were stars and he was falling.
No.
They didn't care. Your lot. The police, the courts, they didn't really care at all. You know what they did when they came? They told us he was dead. That his body had been found in the river and they were treating it as suspicious and would one of us go and identify him in the morning. And then this other bunch shows up the very same day with a warrant to search the house. Drugs and guns, they said. My mum's there like she has turned to stone and they're going through all our things. Someone's posted in the doorway watching us. They treated us like shit. So it was just another kid in the street gang, wasn't it? A black kid had it coming.
Look, if that did happen...
Oh, you think I'm making it up? Guess how we found out that you charged Simon Peveril. And the news. Neighbour rang to tell us it had been on. We were the last to know. We were inconvenient. Worse, we were treated like we were part of the problem.
That was 20 years ago. Things have changed.
But nothing's changed. I've written letter after letter to DCS McCaffrey.
Really?
Never got a reply. Not even a standard, your views matter to us now, piss off and leave us alone. Can you go now?
I still need something to confirm your whereabouts on Thursday evening.
And I asked you to go.
Mel, would you rather I came back with a warrant?
Yeah, you do that then. Waste time on me instead of looking for the man who killed my brother, who killed Simon. Mum?
Mel? The police. I can't do this. I can't. I don't know what. The police here talking about murder. All the questions.
I'm coming. Just try and calm down. Try and breathe. How dare you? That is outrageous. That's harassment, that is. Persecuting a woman who's already had her life ripped apart, terrifying her. You bastards. How could you?
It's my boyfriend. He's already got points on his licence. And if they give him a ban, he won't be able to work. We'll lose the flat.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. If it does all go pear-shaped and you lose your home, then you come and find me, Jackie Stanton-Hope. I'll sort you out.
How?
Ways and means. Trust me.
Thank you.
You might as well go home. There's no telling when DCI Stone will be back. Unless you want to talk to me.
Needs must, Michael.
Do you want to call your lawyer?
No need. Just one thing, I would really like the opportunity to speak to the press afterwards and make a public announcement.
Well, that ain't gonna happen. Right, let's get started. This way.
Don't worry, darling. It's gonna be fine.
Thank you.
I realised that you probably found it strange I wasn't at the funeral. I felt it would be hypocritical, you see. As you know, we were estranged, and to pretend that wasn't the case, to make a shallow gesture for the sake of appearances, it just didn't seem appropriate.
You didn't feel the need to say goodbye?
We said our goodbyes a very long time ago.
I have to take this. I won't be a minute. John?
Sue. Get this. Our Mel Harrington is actually Mel Stafford, Cody's sister.
What?
Yeah, she's got this big conspiracy theory. Thinks Simon was wrongfully convicted and someone else killed her brother, then came after Simon.
Has she got an alibi?
Refused to account for her whereabouts. Next news, her mother's on the phone in a complete state. Whoever went to ask for her alibi messed it up big time. Tell me some good news.
Well, I don't know if it's good exactly, but I've been speaking to Dr. Peveril. He's got some correspondence from Simon to Grace. I'm going to see if there's anything useful in it for us.
OK. I'll see you back at the station.
I'm here because I realise that the situation has become untenable. I accept, in hindsight, there was some risk attached to our approach.
Some risk? Let's talk about risk. Did you carry out risk assessments?
Not as such, but we had smoke alarms, sprinklers, fire extinguishers... But no. No, you're right. It wasn't a robust system. It wasn't good enough. I made mistakes. Honest mistakes. But it's too late to put things right, so I'm here to shoulder my responsibility.
You understand there may well be charges relating to negligence and failure to adequately protect the safety of the resident.
I do. And I'm not going anywhere.
I would like to apologise. You'll appreciate it's been a very stressful time. And I know that I've not come out of it in a particularly good light. But what's done is done. So if there's anything more I can do to help, I will, though I'm not sure what that might be.
Do you regret the way you handled things with Simon?
I'm sorry, I was referring to these last few days.
And before that? The rest? The violence? You never felt the need to make amends?
Oh, I do think you're blowing it out of all proportion.
You beat him so badly, you broke his bones. He was a teenager.
He was out of control.
And you weren't.
The fraud investigation team will be digging much deeper.
And I'm confident there'll be no case to answer.
Some of the computers we seized are password protected.
We'll provide any passwords they need and anything else.
I'll sign you out.
The press conference. I think it could go a long way towards calming the situation. I don't know who decides these things, if you need to speak to John or to Liam McCaffrey. His wife Karen worked really hard for us when she was a patron. A real star.
Just take a breath, Mum. Nice and slow. That's it. Just breathe. Mm-hmm. And again. That's right.
I keep having flashbacks. I can't really think. It was the police at the door, like before. It was bad enough when they told us that man was being released. The thought of him being here, the chance of seeing him at the shop store. They should never have let him come back here. Then to have them asking all those questions, like I am a criminal. No one thinks what it might do to us. All of this. I don't know if I can do it anymore. Be strong. That's what people say. Keep going. Carry on. But what if the strength is gone? If I'm too weak? If I cannot carry this any further? I can't do it anymore. I can't. Oh, Lord, help me.
Just sit down. Oh. Sit down and breathe. I'll get you a cup of tea, yeah? Have you had anything to eat?
I don't want to eat.
Well, it's good to have a little something. Some toast, maybe?
No. Cody was 17, and that man beat him and broke his neck and threw him in the river like a dog. They think I would do the same as him? They think that's what I've learned, what I've become? That I want some sort of vengeance? Are they mad? Oh, do they think I did this? How would I find him? What are they thinking? That I fought him? That I burned him? That I would even consider taking a life knowing how precious life is?
I know, Mum.
Oh, what is a mother's job? What is her duty? To protect her child. To raise him right. I failed. I tried to show Cody there was another way. To work hard and build a better life, but he would not hear me. The sorrow is hard, but oh, the guilt.
You couldn't have done anything.
That's right. I couldn't do anything. I wasn't capable. I failed him.
You loved him and you cared for him.
It wasn't enough. I wish myself dead in Cody's place. I wish that man dead 1,000 times, 100,000 times. I wish they'd hanged him. I hope he would end his days in prison, rotting there. What did all that hatred bring me? More grief, more bitterness, eating me up inside. I turned away from that. He had taken my boy, he had broken my heart, but he would not take any more of me. And know this, know he is dead, just like I prayed for. But there is no peace. Why is there no peace?
Because there's no justice, Mum. He didn't do it. Simon Peveril didn't kill Cody.
What? What are you talking about?
I met him. He told me everything. He was innocent all along, but no one would listen.
Shut up.
Mum!
Shut your mouth. You stand there and lie to me. You betray your brother's memory. You spit on his grave.
No, listen, please. I know it's difficult, but I love Cody too, and I'm telling the truth.
You are not my daughter.
Mom!
I don't know you.
We have lived this together for 20 years. Why would I lie now? Please!
You are not my daughter.
Look, Simon took another person's life. Now, I wish it wasn't so, but that's the truth of the matter, and I could not forgive it.
Young men, intoxicated, a fight that spiralled out of control.
I've tried to live a decent life, an honest life, and yes, I've got things wrong sometimes, but moral values, the rule of law, these things aren't add-ons, they're not optional. I couldn't ignore what he'd done or brush it away, especially when he didn't have the integrity to admit it. Right, I'd better let you get on.
You've not even asked me about the investigation into his death.
No, well, I understand you had to observe confidentiality and data protection. It's the same in medicine.
You've no questions?
No, not really. I'm sure you're putting in every effort and...
Did you speak to the family liaison officer?
No, not yet, no. But whatever emerges, it won't change the situation. We are where we are. So, please... Give my regards to DCI Stone, and thank you.
Any word from the hospital on Stewie McCallion?
He's awake at last, but they want to observe him overnight before they'll let us talk to him.
We've had confirmation on the alibi for Mrs. Stafford. It all checks out.
Whoever dealt with that wants a right bollocking. The woman's a victim. Some prat waits in there.
We've had a visit from Jackie Stanton Hope, admitting failings in the running of the organisation.
Seriously?
Yep. She's still here. What's a press conference?
Yeah, in her dreams.
McCaffrey's given the go-ahead. You're to do it with her.
Oh, what? When?
Now.
My name is DCI John Stone, and I'm leading the inquiry into the murder of Simon Peverell. Should anyone have any information that may be of help, no matter how small, I would urge you to call us or visit your local police station as soon as possible. This afternoon, Jackie Stanton Hope has been assisting us with the investigation into working practices at the Stanton Hope Foundation. She has asked to say a few words.
Thank you, John. As you all know, I've spent my life working to improve lives. To give people who find themselves homeless not just a roof over their heads or a bed at night, but a home, a community. A sense of belonging, of respect and dignity. To create a family and a future. Growing up in a poor neighbourhood, I saw how easy it was for people to fall between the cracks. I had the good fortune to go to university, but I never forgot where I came from. And I swore to put something back, to make a difference. We are all citizens, and supporting each other through hard times is the bedrock of our democracy. We've helped thousands of people turn their lives around. It's been a phenomenal journey, and I am humbled to have been part of it. As you know, we recently suffered a terrible blow. The untimely death of one of our visitors, Simon Peverell. Our thoughts and condolences are with his family and friends at their time of loss. A spotlight has been shone on the foundation. And I'm sad to say that there's areas of management where standards have fallen short of the very high bar we aspire to. It is with deep regret that I am stepping down as chief executive with immediate effect. Plans will be made to close the homes. To all the Stanton Hope Foundation family, I say every effort will be made to secure alternative accommodation for you. It has been a privilege to know you. And you all have my best wishes and my love. Thank you. Thank you all.
What just happened? Never saw that come in.
She loves the limelight, that woman.
I don't know about you lot, but after watching that sick-making little performance, I'm going to need a couple of pints later. Take the taste away. Sue?
Jolene's picking me up after work. We're in training. Half marathon.
Blimey. Boss?
I should be getting back. Chloe's had Alice all day. She'll be climbing the walls.
Sounds like you're on your own, Tanner. Slippery slope, that. Drinking alone.
I blame you two. No team spirit.
Kat.
Hi.
Come in. This is a surprise.
Yep.
Long drive.
7.5 hours. Is Alice here?
Out with Chloe.
Oh, really? Where?
Bowling.
Right. They get on okay then?
Yeah. Do you want a tea?
Coffee, thanks. So, how's Alice been?
Okay.
Really?
Well, bit of a nightmare. Still banging on about getting a nose pierced. Explodes at the slightest thing. Oh, I can't work her out at the moment.
Oh, these new friends she's made, I'm not sure about them.
You reckon they were behind the shoplifting?
Well, she's never done anything like that before, and her grades are down as well.
The move's obviously been hard for her. Leaving behind everything she knows, being the new girl. It's probably just a phase. Once she adjusts, she'll calm down.
I hope you're right.
Maybe you shouldn't take her back just yet.
No. We'll stay a few days at my mum's. So, how's things with you?
Yeah, okay. Actually, Chloe's been talking about starting a family.
Really?
Yeah. She'd like kids. Well, a kid, anyway. What's with the look?
It's just your job, the hours. She'd be on her own, she does know that.
You weren't on your own.
Come on, you were never there, John. And I get it, the police aren't exactly family-friendly employers, not at your level.
There you go.
Thanks.
No sugar. So, you're staying a few days?
For now. I just need a bit of a break. Get my head together.
Because of Alice?
She won't talk to me. She's either out or barricaded in a room, but it's not just that. Living by the sea, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe the whole thing was a bit rushed. It's hard. Blended families. A lot harder than I expected.
Right.
I heard you on the news, by the way. Bad management at the Stanton Hope Foundation.
She just rolled over.
You weren't expecting it, then?
No way.
Well, there's going to be a lot of very unhappy people out there. She's incredibly popular.
Oh, I think the tide's turning. People don't like the idea of their lottery money and charitable donations being misspent. I wonder how long the foundation would have lasted before someone blew the whistle. It's only because of our investigation that any of this came out. I helped put Simon Peveril away, remember, back in 98. He'd killed a lad called Cody Stafford, broke his neck, dumped him in the river.
Yes, a gang thing. I'd just met you.
My first job as DC. McCaffrey was senior investigating officer. I ran into Cody Stafford's sister today. She thinks we've got the wrong man.
You're joking. She must want her head examining.
That's got me thinking, though. Was it completely watertight?
Of course it was. John, you gave everything to that case. You worked so hard. Some nights I only knew you'd been home because of the smell of the kebab in the kitchen.
Those were rank.
No wonder you didn't die of food poisoning. Oh, that flat in Withington was such a dump. And the shooting in the next street, Gunchester.
Every time fireworks went off, you thought it was gunshots.
I had to pin plastic up at the windows to keep the heat in. Oh, we didn't care, did we? We were so happy.
Yes. Oh. DCI Stone.
Get this woman out of my house. Get her out. She's no right to be here.
Dr. Peveril.
Get out. She's refusing to leave. It's disgraceful. I said, get out.
I'm on my way. Don't do anything you'll regret. Sorry, Kat, I've got to go. They should be home soon.
Well, will it be okay with Chloe if I'm here when they get back?
Sure. No problem.
Juno! You turned your back on him!
Let out!
Dr. Peveril! Edward! Put it down.
Get her out of here.
I will. Just put that down first, please.
She shouldn't be here. Do you know who she is?
Yes. I know. Mel, this man's son was buried today.
And he wasn't even there. But I was. Someone has got to speak for Simon.
You have no right.
He told me everything. How'd you compete with a dead brother? You can't. I'll tell you that for nothing. They're gone, and you can never fill that space. You're still around. You're expected to make it all better, but how can you?
Shut up. Simon gave up. He had everything and he tossed it away. He chose the gutter. He demeaned himself. He disgraced us, peddling drugs, mixing with criminals.
He needed a family. The gang was somewhere he felt at home.
Oh, with a bunch of lowlifes and thugs.
My brother was not a thug. Look, I know Simon wasn't a saint. He was selfish and mixed up. He had a terrible temper. When Cody challenged him, Simon was humiliated. Just
this
like...
This is when... all history.
Well, I'm rewriting it. Simon didn't kill Cody, but you wouldn't believe him.
No one believed him.
His mum believed him. She never wavered. Then he lost her as well.
Don't you talk about my wife. You leave her out of this.
I saw Simon on Wednesday. He was close to tears. He'd been to see you, but you weren't there, were you? You must have known he was coming because he'd written to tell you. Did you even read his letter? He went to see his mum after that. She didn't know who he was. He said it was like he'd come out and there was nothing for him, no one. He was trying so hard to hold it together. The only thing he had left was proving his innocence.
Which was an obsession, a delusion. Why have you come here spouting this rubbish? It's farcical.
You're going to help me. I want to find out who really killed Cody, and I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I've lost my brother. Simon's gone, and my own mother won't even look me in the eye because of this. You are finally going to do something for Simon.
He played you for a fool, just like he did his mother. Now shut up and get out.
Why won't you listen to me? He loved you. He needed you, and he loved you. Why couldn't you just hold that hand to him? Why?
Because I hurt him. He drove me to the edge. He pushed me over it. And I beat him. I wanted to kill him. Just like Simon wanted to kill your brother. He was his father's son. Bad blood in both of us. I had ruined him.
So you owe him. And you owe me. It's time that you had the guts to stand up and do something he could be proud of.
Dr. Peveril, can I call anyone to be with you?
Paula's on her way back.
Are you sure? Would you like me to wait?
No. No. I'd like to be alone. Please.
Secret of the universe and everything?
Close. Outlets that stock the Furiato Kurima limited edition trainers, including online suppliers.
Oh, 42's nothing. But don't you think you're putting a bit too much emphasis on this trainer lead? We've still got Stewie McCallion to interview, and Mel Stafford for that matter.
There's something in it. I know there is. He changed his shoes. It's not like he swapped them for a better pair. It's the other way around.
Just don't lose sight of the other lines of inquiry.
Oh, yeah. You're ready, Sue.
Any news on the trainers?
Mike, there's fast, and then there's downright impossible.
Just asking, seeing as you're here.
Nope, we're gone. Mind you, I already did a sprint this morning in the line of duty.
Where was that, then?
The cemetery.
That's a bit weird. Do they allow that sort of thing?
I'll tell you all about it. Tanner, we can't persuade you to have a little run?
Jog on.
Mel, I'm warning you. If there's any more harassment of Dr. Peveril, there could be serious consequences for you. If you really want to help, you tell me now exactly what you know of Simon's movements after his release. Where he went, who he planned to see, what he talked about.
Okay. We wanted to trace as many people who were there the night of Cody's death as we could. Talk to them, try and find witnesses. Someone must have seen something. Maybe they'd seen what Stewie was doing at the bridge or seen Cody there still alive after Simon had gone home.
Mel, you need to face the facts.
Why would Simon lie? Why would he keep it up so long when it meant an extra 3 years on top of his tariff?
20 instead of 17.
Denial, playing the martyr, an inability to accept what's real. I don't know. All I'm concerned with is catching whoever killed Simon. How on earth did he intend tracking down these clubbers from 20 years ago?
I'd already been in touch with people I knew back then, like Adele. She couldn't help. She could barely remember her name. Alcoholic, in and out of rehab. Castro's was popular with students, but I never knew him and they'd have moved on anyway.
So you were stuck?
I brought him some photos.
What photos?
Photos Cody had taken that night. He had one of those disposable cameras, the sort that people buy for parties before we all had camera phones.
Mel, why didn't you tell me this before?
Because you weren't listening. It was left in his coat pocket with his keys and cigs. One of those daft things we couldn't bear to get the camera developed, knowing he'd never see those pictures. We couldn't chuck it either. I'd forgotten all about it. He had a box of stuff. All his stuff. 17 years and it comes down to a box of bloody souvenirs. Well, Cody had only taken half a dozen snaps. There was one of me and Cody together that Adele took. I didn't recognise anyone else, but Simon did. This guy called Diggsy had been dealing at the club.
I think he was interviewed at the time. He couldn't tell us anything.
Well, Simon remembered seeing this Diggsy in a group of people headed towards the bridge after Simon had left Cody. He was going to see if he could trace Diggsy and if he could tell us who any of the other people in the photos were. Never heard from Simon again. That is one thing I don't understand.
What?
Why was Simon in Manchester on Thursday night? He should have been over in Leeds. If he didn't make his curfew, they'd revoke his licence. He could have gone back inside. I mean, why stay in Manchester?
Diggsy wasn't in the Duke's gang with Simon, was he?
That is your whole problem. You see, it's some gang thing. Not real people, not ordinary people, but gangsters. Kids on bikes selling raps, kids with guns. Nothing like your kids. Different class, different colour, so you treat it differently. Blinkered. You lot never admit mistakes, do you? Even when you've made them. It's always a cover-up, closing ranks. Gang loyalty, you know all about that. Well, I'm not going to stop just because they got to Simon, even if they're coming for me next.
I need to see the photos. Where are the photos?
I gave them to Simon. He'll be gone now. Why would anyone want to kill him? Well, who benefits? I'll tell you who. The man who killed Cody. The man who's bricking it because Simon, who always vowed to clear his name, is out now. And that guy, Stewie, or whoever, just might get found out at last. So we make sure it can never happen. It's a motive. I want him caught. I want to know who did this to us. To me, to my mum, to my bright, beautiful little brother. Who really killed Cody? That is what you should be looking for. The truth. The whole truth.
In Stone, DCI Stone was played by Hugo Spear, DI Mike Tanner by Craig Cheatham, and DS Sue Kelly by Deborah McAndrew. Mel Stafford was played by Chrissy Bone, Mrs. Stafford by Claire Benedict, Edward Peverell by David Schofield, Jackie Stanton Hope by Jill Halfpenny, and Kat and Jolene by Angela Lonsdale. Stone was created by Danny Brocklehurst. It was written by Kath Staincliffe, script edited by Caitlin Crawford, and produced by Nadia Molinari.